certainly glad that you're here again this evening. We have a number of people visiting with us again this evening. We're glad that you're here. Recognize that you're here. I hope you follow along in your Bible or on the charts behind us as we look at these tonight. Also, we hope you have the opportunity to come out to the class on Friday night. This Wednesday night, we'll be studying lesson number 7. And we hope you come back at that time on Wednesday night. But then on Friday night, we'll be studying lesson number 2. So if you have the opportunity, I know that the Masseys, I know Derek is already cleaning the house. And it'll take him about 5 more days, I suppose, with them little ones. And they'll be ready for us on Friday night. So let's have a good turnout, at the Masseys. Here's the word scars. And of course, all scars have their history. If my head was shaven like Jason or David, you would find out part of my history. I have a big dent up here from a wreck with a brick wall at a bank years ago, and not a very smart thing to do, but have that scar, as well as several other scars over the years, and maybe you have some scars as well concerning your own life. Maybe you were running. I know Lynn has one. She's running with a pair of scissors, I think, or a knife, and Ruth told her not to do that when she was a little girl, and she just ran along and just kept on stabbing herself. But she has a scar, and maybe you have a scar as well. I can remember them talking about Al Capone and, of course, his famous scar on his face, to where they called him finally Scarface. But scars in the Bible tell us a lot as well, as we'll look at in just a minute here. Maybe this fellow you don't really recognize for the most part, unless you were from Alabama. This fellow's name is Charles Wood. He was an airplane pilot back in World War II. And he would fly out to fuel every so many days to refill different machinery during World War II. And he was training somebody one day, and the people that he was training, they lost speed as they were leaving the runway, and the plane exploded. And as you see here, he was burned severely over all of his body. And an interesting fellow, later on, he ran for governor of Alabama against George Wallace back in 1972, and then ran against Harry Reid several years later in Nevada in the 90s. But he died in 2004, but just had a lot of scars. You can just tell something about his life. Or there was a preacher several years ago. I can't remember his last name now. His first name was Paddy. He was from Africa. And he would talk about a man in his village in Africa that was over 6'4". And he had killed a leopard, and there were scars all over the man as he tangled and finally was able to kill this animal. Well, concerning that of the Apostle Paul, he writes, and written in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 24-25. He says, 5 times I received the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes, Lest one in the old King James. Three times I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. And I think we know the story of him being stoned. But when I hear that, I think maybe Phil quoted it this morning in the Bible class, it seemed like. And I mean, we read that a lot of times, but really don't really think about it too much. 39 times, five different times. So that's 195. That's 195 scars on your back right there. Usually they would either beat your back, or they would beat your left shoulder or your right shoulder, one of the three. And so just 195 scars alone. Unless it was a whip of that time, and a whip of that time might have three or four cords on it. So if you times that times four, then you might have 600 to 800 scars on your back. This is a man here that was beaten, and he has many, many scars on his back, but he doesn't have 600 or 800 scars on his back. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul would actually look like? I mean, we got our own vision of the Apostle Paul in our own mind about here's a man went about preaching the gospel, and every now and then he got into trouble. But when you think about having 200 to maybe 400 or 600 scars on your back. Well, we see that scars talk. In chapter 14 of Acts, in verse 19, it says, "But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Again, I don't think we really get the picture of what a man would look like after the man was left for dead being stoned. We think of maybe throwing a few rocks at him or whatever, and maybe knocking him out, maybe bruising him a little bit. But you could imagine the parts of his head and other parts of his body being crushed by different stones. And what he looked like after that, and the fact that he just got up and went back in the city just a day later. He wanted to go back and preach. Wanted to go back and preach the gospel to the people again. In Galatians 6 and verse 17, it says, "From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." Interesting. And then Acts 5 and in verse 40, where the rest of the apostles, they seem to are not exempt in this. It says, Acts 5:40, "And when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go." And here maybe we see a picture of maybe one of the whips that might have been used during that time, with some sort of maybe bone tied into the different places there on the whip. With Jesus, we see in Matthew 19 verse 1 and then John 19 verse 1 and Matthew 27 verse 26. We'll turn over there to John 19 1. Mentions basically the same thing. It says, "And Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him." Beat him. a tremendous amount of scars put on his back. And then in John chapter 20 and in verse 27, John 20 and in verse 27, it says, "And then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" Now the question is, why all these beatings? Why all this violence? Why all these scars that all these different men had to, go through? And here you might see different pieces of the whip and whip that might have been used at that time. But what do these scars say? Well, one thing they say is that I'm telling you the truth. If they're going to lie, in fact, if all these apostles are going to lie, they're going to get some benefit from lying. But this isn't the case. What's happening to the apostles here, and especially concerning the apostle Paul, that at least we know about, is that he is being beat, stoned to the point of death. And just letting us know that we are telling you the truth. We are going through this. We're going through this because we have a faithful witness, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going through this because we're telling you the truth, and also that we love you. We're concerned. We're concerned about getting the gospel out. Concerned about getting this gospel message out to everyone so that everyone has the opportunity to come to the Lord. He states in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed." There is a contrast here between pain, many times great pain, and that of great joy. Even though these things are happening to us, still we're not crushed. We're not driven to despair. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. He goes on to say in the same context, "Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." She goes on to say in verse 12, "So death is at work in us. Death is at work in us, but life in you." What's he saying? We're going to give ourselves over to death. We're going to give ourselves over to death. We're going to give ourselves over to beatings. We're going to give ourselves over so that you can live. In verse 15, he says, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." What's he saying again? Every blow that the Apostle Paul received would help others believe and glorify Christ. So therefore, he was willing. He was very willing to give in to that. so that Christ would live in us. In Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 5, a passage that we quote or read many times, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace." And then he says, "And with his wounds we are healed." Every blow that he received helped in my spiritual healing. It helped in your spiritual healing. So what do we see here about our own scars? Well, we see here, first of all, there are good scars and there are bad scars. Good scars from those who come from service to God. And bad scars, those that come from our sins and our weaknesses. We see here as well, in verses 28 and 29, as he ends this part, after he has defended his apostleship, he says in verse 28, "And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches," when worry is used in a positive sense. "Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant?" Scars. Scars trying to help people. Trying to help people come to Christ. Well, how do we deal with good scars? Well, first of all, we see it's just part of our discipleship. In 2 Peter and in chapter 3 and in verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 12, it says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Prayer? Our prayer is more fervent. When we are suffering, when things are going well, usually a good part of the time people forget God. But when they are suffering, when things are not going right in their life, then they start praying to the Lord. "Lord, I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to get me out of this mess. I need you to heal me in some way." Consider examples of those whose scars far surpass our scar. Well, we've had to give for the cause of Christ. Well, that doesn't compare to what Jesus gave. It probably doesn't even compare to what the apostles gave. But still, I understand that I have good scars on my journey, and you have good scars on your journey. And we need to focus. We need to focus on the eternal. Back over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I have it up here on the chart. He says, verse 16, "So that we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." Verse 17, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Oh, we might be suffering here for a little bit. We might have some scars that come up during our lives as we go about serving the Lord. But then he says in verse 18, "For as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are transient, but the things which are unseen are eternal." So in conclusion tonight, I have to run over to a funeral home. So in conclusion tonight, What about the wounds from our sin? Well, we need to repent. To take some concrete steps in our journey toward the Lord. If we need to be baptized, that we're willing to do that and be baptized into Christ, that we trust in His scars. God's going to forgive us. He's going to heal us of our wounds. By Christ, we have been healed. And to be thankful for the scarring process. Many times we don't think about this. And we don't think about what's occurred within our lives. An open wound says that I am still in sin. But you can get out of that. You can leave sin behind by coming to the Lord. But a scar says that I have left the sin. And I've learned from it. Oh, there might be a lot of scars in some people's lives, no doubt. But the hope is that we continue to learn from this and continue to serve the Lord. There might be in the audience tonight, not a Christian, understanding the condition that you're in, needing a Savior to be baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or for those that need to come back to their first love, we invite you to come now. While together we stand, we sing.